All right, let's lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline as the countdown continues, folks. Time to talk some Auburn. And we're lucky enough to have a guy who was a terrific player as a quarterback, a four-year starter in the early 90s, a Peach Bowl MVP at the helm for the Tigers' unbeaten 93 season, closing in on 20 years as the ace radio analyst for the Auburn Sports Network. Welcome in, Stan White. Stan, really appreciate your time. How's life treating you these days?
Oh, it's great, Steve. Glad to be on with you, and looking forward to meeting you guys, I guess, halfway over in Dallas in a few days.
You know, when I announced you were coming on the show, I got to tell you, I was kind of bowled over by the amount of people who wanted me, on behalf of, you know, Oregon fans, to pass along their heartfelt condolences. And obviously, for people unaware, the longtime voice of the Tigers and his wife, Rod Bramblett, lost their lives in a horrible car accident this past May. I ran into him at the championship game 9 years ago. If you will, could you explain just what he meant to the Tiger family as their voice?
Well, yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, Rod and I, he was the voice of Auburn for 16 years straight, and he and I were partners for every single game that he did, 208 games. And you know, this will be my 19th year. I was with Jim Fife for 2 years, which he became a legend with Auburn people. And then, of course, Rod took over after his untimely death and became a legend himself. And Rod had some of the most iconic calls in Auburn history. We went through you know, a national championship year, like you brought up, a 2004 undefeated season, and 13 near national in the Rose Bowl. So it was just a fantastic years to call, but more so, Rod was our anchor. He was our leader. He and Paula were such phenomenal people. And he was really beloved amongst the Auburn family, and he was very, very well respected in the broadcasting ranks. And we will certainly miss him. It'll be a very tough broadcast Saturday, but you know, he would want us to carry on and do the best we could.
I appreciate you sharing that. I wanted to get to Coach Malzahn, who's entering his seventh season. You know, he was the offensive coordinator when you beat Oregon for the title, then almost won it all. You mentioned his first year in 2013. Now that you have a fan base who expects excellence, how would you describe, is there any added pressure to succeed this season off a year where the Tigers were sub 500 in the SEC?
Well, I think any year you're expected to go out there, and especially at a traditional school like Auburn, you know, and go out there and compete for a conference championship. And the biggest thing I think the fan base wants and demands is that you need to be going into mid and late October still in the hunt for the SEC West. Now, you know, you have to face, you know, Alabama, which has been the school for the past decade, and they're not only in your conference, but they're in the same division. And then your crosstown division is Georgia every year. So that's not the easiest thing. And plus, to tag on, you have to play, of course, you know, Oregon in the first game at a neutral site, and you have to go to Texas A&M, you have to go to LSU, and oh yeah, we pick up Florida this year on the road in Gainesville. So it's not the easiest schedule, put it that way. But you know, the thing of it is the nature of the way it is in the SEC West. It's not going to change. And you know, I think that he expects a lot out of himself, and I think the Auburn faithful are expecting that as well. So you know, I'm expecting, with the tough schedule, They're still going. They should be competing in mid and late October for the SEC West.
Talking Auburn football with a radio analyst, Stan White. A change on the offensive side of the ball. Chip Lindsey took the head gig at Troy. Enter Kenny Dillingham, who did some really good work at Memphis the last couple years. What could you tell us about all Kenny brings to the table and what his role will be?
Energy and detail. I got a chance to coach a quarterback camp down there with the coaches and a few ex-quarterbacks that they brought in back a month and a half ago. And I tell you what, first time I got the chance to be around him for more than a couple of hours, and he has a lot of energy. He is a real detail-oriented guy, and I think that's exactly the fit that will help Gus transition back to, you know, the play calling on a down-to-down basis. You know, Gus, he came from high school, and he made his hay with play calling, and I think he just felt that, look, I got here as the head coach, you know, in the SEC by play calling and being an offensive mind, and he got away from it the last couple of years with thinking he needed an offensive coordinator. But I think bringing in a guy like Kenny that can help organize the offensive practices and the game plans and then allow Gus to make the calls, bouncing off Kenny what his thoughts are, I think it's just going to only help strengthen Gus's ability to go out there and have a successful game plan.
Now, about a week ago, Coach announced the true freshman, Bo Nix, is his guy at quarterback. And, I mean, his high school career in Alabama, he just, like, rewrote the record books. And, of course, the irony for folks who don't know, his dad, Patrick, backed you up. You played right off as a freshman. What could you tell us, Stan, about this young guy's game and how ready he is to take the reins?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. He comes from a coach's family. Patrick, his dad, was my backup at Auburn, and Patrick was a very cerebral quarterback, very smart. I think he would tell you that Bo has more athletic, God-given ability than his dad does, and that's kind of what we all hope for our children. And so, but he is a very athletic, smart quarterback, mature beyond his years because he come from a coach's family. And so even though he's a freshman, he has a mentality more of an upperclassman. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to make freshman mistakes. He's going to. But I think he's not your normal, kind of wet behind the ears freshman coming in after just going to prom. He reported early. He came in January, got a chance to go through spring. And so I think, he's going to make some mistakes. But I think overall, with he and Joey Gatewood, who will play, I think the quarterback situation as a whole is stronger than even than it was with Jarrett Stidham. And I mean no disrespect to Jarrett Stidham. 2 years ago, he had a fantastic 2017, had a good year last year. Numbers fell off a little bit. But he was more of a pocket arm passer. And he had a great arm, and we're seeing that in preseason NFL. But the ability to have a dual threat is what Gus has really been successful with, and I think they have that with two of their guys.
You know, last season the offensive line went through a bit of a transition. They lost Braden Smith, who was an All-American, Austin Golson, an All-SEC guy. And, you know, they had some struggles, but now all those guys have that year under their belt. They're mostly seniors. What could you tell us about the type of unit that the veteran coach J.B. Grimes will run out there?
Well, I think you said it perfectly. They were kind of they were new last year, even though some of them were upperclassmen. They didn't have a lot of experience under their belt. They didn't have a lot of starts. And this year, you're seeing a different team. Hopefully, they will pick up where they left off. About the halfway point of the season last year, they really started gelling, and you could see that productivity rise. And so hopefully they'll continue where that is. And this is the first year last year that Gus Malzahn did not have a 1,000-yard rusher. So I know they're taking that as kind of a challenge to get back in that, to have that 1,000-yard rusher. So I think Coach Grimes is going to put out there a more veteran group, a more cohesive group, and I look for them to carry the load.
As far as the weapons at the disposal of the freshmen, Darius Slayton was the game breaker, went to the Giants, and Ryan Davis led the team in catches. I actually haven't seen a depth chart. I know Seth Williams is back. For Oregon fans not familiar with your Tigers, who should they keep an eye out for on the receiving end when Bo throws?
Well, Seth Williams was a guy who really came onto the scene as a true freshman last year. He was third in the SEC at the end of the year in yards per catch, about 25 yards per catch. He's a big target, 6'3", 215-pounder. He'll be one of their go-to guys this year. Anthony Schwartz is another guy who's been injured most of camp. It's going to be a game decision with him, but this is a guy that has world-class track speed. He actually spent spring with the Auburn track team. So this is a guy they hope to get back. And you've got Eli Stove and Will Hastings, both of those guys coming off of knee surgeries the last year, year and a half. So hopefully they can provide some depth as well. But yeah, they've got their top three or four guys have some good experience. But as you well know, you've got to have six or eight guys deep. So some of the freshmen are going to have to step up.
Yeah, that's what they're facing here as well. A couple final thoughts for Auburn radio analyst Stan White. One area that does not seem to lack for anything is that defensive line, because everybody I've spoken with, everything I've read, I mean, they just rate them one or two. Derek Brown, who probably could have been a high draft pick. What can you tell us about this unit coached by actually a former Auburn offensive lineman, Rodney Garner?
Yeah, Rodney and I go way back. He was a senior when I was a freshman, and this is a guy, he probably did the best recruiting job of all the coaches by getting Derek Brown to come back for his senior year. And that's a tribute to Derek as well. It shows how much he cares about Auburn, and this is a guy that could have definitely been a solid first-round pick last year. If he stays healthy and does what everyone thinks he'll do, he could be a top-five pick. But you add to that Marlon Davidson. You got Nick Coe, who's a very versatile player. He can play defensive end. He can play buck. He can play interior in the tackle. And then you have T.D. Moultrie, who's really had a good camp, and then Big Cat Bryant. And so this defensive front obviously will be a strength for what is a fairly new linebacker core. Now, they've got a lot of ability, but the starts is what graduated with Deshaun Davis and Darrell Williams. So that's an area they're going to have to replace in experience, but the athleticism is there.
And lastly, I always like to get the view of what's happening out here from the lens of the opposition. You know, a lot of people think this is going to be the best Oregon team since they made the college football playoff 5 years ago. What's the buzz on your end, whether it's the coaches, players, what you've observed about the kind of duck team the Tigers are going to face in this big opener?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I've read I'll bring it up last about Justin Herbert, but you know, this is a Oregon team. Obviously, they returned their strength in their offensive line as well. I think all five starters coming back. So it should be a strength against strength for Auburn. So that'll be an interesting matchup. And, you know, Justin Herbert is clearly, I think, one of the top, if not the top quarterback that's going to be in the draft next year. He's a Heisman Trophy candidate, clearly. I read a very, very interesting story about him. Did not know this about him being a biology major and very, very intelligent. It was very, very intriguing. I found myself rooting for Justin Herbert, maybe not this Saturday, but showing, you know, it just made me think after reading this story that this is a young man that's got his head on straight. He's going to be successful at whatever he does outside of football or within football. And so he is the epitome, from what I've read, of the true student athlete. And so I applaud that with him. And so I'm looking forward to watching him. Like I said, I don't want him to do very well this Saturday, but I became a fan of him reading this story. And so, you know, growing up not far from the stadium in Eugene, it was a very nice story. And so I'm looking forward to it. It's the first time we've faced each other since 2010. I know it didn't come out Oregon's way, and it came out our way, but it was a game. It was a low-scoring game where everyone thought it would be a high-scoring. But I'm looking forward to coming to Dallas and seeing two top 15 type teams go together.
Folks, he's Stan White. He'll be alongside Andy Burcham with the call on the Auburn Sports Network. And folks, working the sideline, a guy who was part of one of the great backfields in the history of the sport, Ronnie Brown with Cadillac Williams and Jason Campbell. Hey, Stan, really appreciate you finding some time to talk with us. Travel safe to Dallas. Have a great season. And thanks so much for joining us on the show. Really means a lot.
Hey, my pleasure, my friend. Anytime, okay? You guys be safe travels as well, okay?
All right. Have a good one, Stan.